Thank you for coming. It's good to see you all. I hope that your Shavuot went well. You enjoyed Chag. I want to ask you please to turn off your phones, if you don't mind. And also I want to thank our sponsors for the academic year. The Shirim are sponsored Le'ilu Nishmai Zelig Ben Kalman V'Brana Bas Brandit. And we're Zichrono Liracha. We're very grateful for that sponsorship. Okay, today's sheet is the repayment of a debt that I owe you, that I promised you, and then we got sidetracked onto other things, and I don't remember exactly what happened, but there were some special Wednesday sessions, and we never got to finish our conversation. But it's a fascinating conversation, and this was the bit I think you were all actually looking forward to, was the discussion not just about Hebrew pronunciation and Havara, but the permissibility of changing Havara. Now, I was one of these kids that was brought up in England in a cheder where they had an Israeli teacher trying to hammer into us the Ivrit Havara, okay? And at the same time was going to a shul in which there was no Ivrit Havara, but that as Ashkenaz is Havara. And probably like most of the people in my generation, I came out pretty Ashkafadi. Which you probably heard if you've been listening to me long enough. So it's not ideal by a long way, but I'd like to look at some of the tshuvot, or the tshuvas. I'm not going to keep saying that. We do have a lot of words on the page in today's sheet, and I'm not going to say every word. Otherwise, we'll run out of time, and I want to pace ourselves so that we can make sure we get this done properly. I obviously have extracted from some of these tshuvot for you. I've not brought you the whole of the tshuvot, but I've brought you about 9 or 10 tshuvot from some of the classics during the 20th century on this. And we'll see. We've got Rav Kukli's God, Dan Weiss. We've got Rav Herzog, Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Tzitz Eliezer. We have Rav C. Pesach Frank, Rav Uziel, Rav Avadi Yosef. We've got some real excitement coming up, Rav Weinberg. So I'm going to just jump around a little bit inside the sources and pick out from them. We'll read the first one pretty much in full, and then we'll skip over subsequent ones where they repeat some of the material. But I brought more of the Shuva so you can read it on your own. So in part one, we looked at the historical background. This was a few months ago. You can find them on the OU site. You can find them on my website as well. We saw Rav Moshe Feinstein's pronouncement that all legitimate Havarot, meaning any mainstream Jewish community that decides to pronounce Hebrew a certain way, that is a legitimate Havarah. And he's very clear about that. Obviously, you can't just make up your own pronunciation. But if you're a mainstream Orthodox community, then that is legit. And we'll see what he has to say about the distinction between public and private. He's going to have some interesting tshuvas about bar mitzvah boys who have been taught in Israeli pronunciation, who are having bar mitzvahs in shuls where the shul's saying, no, we don't do that here. And what do you do with this poor little bar mitzvah boy who's, you know, left high and dry? We'll talk about that. And then we looked in part two at some of the implications in Tfilah, in Kriya Shema. A very important one, which we'll see again today, is how you pronounce God's name. Is it Nai or is it Noi? That could be very important indeed, and one of the issues that people get excited about. But let's have a look at these tshuvot. The first section is people who say you may not switch your Havara. Okay? The second section is the people that say you may sometimes. And the third section is the people that say you may do as you wish. Okay, as long as you do it well. So we'll see that right now. So let's start with Rav Kook. Now you might, in a very kind of simplistic way, have expected, well, Rav Kook, he's going to be the big Tzioni, and he's going to be the one that says we should all become Ivrit speakers. In fact, quite the opposite. Rav Kook is very clear that one may not switch Havara from Ashkenazis, and you can be as Tzioni as you want, but you should continue to speak the way you were, your ancestors spoke. And in fact, if you go to Merkaz Arav, you will hear that the Rosh Yeshiva still speak in Ashkenazis, not in Ivrit. But let's see what Rav Kook has to say. So he's giving this tshuva in 1932. Look what he says. Number one, we're going to read this mostly all the way through. Be'inyan shinuyim b'miftayim Sheyeshnam ben ha'idot ha'shonot. So different pronunciations, different communities. Im mutar l'shanot min hagam. Are you allowed to change what you're used to? Shenagu hakadmonim mimifta lemifta. You have an ancient tradition. You are whatever you are. You switch from one to the other. Are you allowed? Bitzvila, bekriyat haTorah, bebrachot, v'chol kiyagavu. Near not dvarin shebediyeved ein shinu hamiftaim ma'akvim. So the first thing he says is, look, bediyeved, even if you switched, it's not going to ruin anything. It's not going to prevent your tefillot and your kriyat shema and your brachot from actually having halachic effects. Lididan, because we, the Kaima Lanka Rabbi Yosei, we pesken like Rabbi Yosei in the Mishnah in Brachot, the Masnis in the Brachas, Tetz, Vav, okay, the Kra, the Karavaloi, Dikdek, okay, so if you read, but you weren't Magdakdek, but Osiyasea, in Shema, you didn't say Leman Tizkru, and you didn't pronounce all the things exactly right, Yatsa, you're Yotze, even if you say it without all the Dikdukim, you're Yotze. Certainly, if you're pronouncing it in a way which other people do pronounce, it's not just you've messed it up, but you're pronouncing it according to a legitimate mainstream havara. Even though that's not the havara of your community, okay, it's not you're not doing it more or less accurately compared to other people necessarily because you're a legitimate havara and you're yotze b'diyeved. That's the first thing he says. The second thing. Second paragraph. Aval lechatchil vaday chova hi lomar kol davar shebikdusha b'shleimut habitui. But that's only b'diyeved. L'chadchile, you should really be saying it the way you normally speak. We'll talk about what normal is it soon. U'mimeila asur l'shanot et minhag hakadmonim. And he's going to get back to this in a few paragraphs. Because you can't just depart from your minhag. Minhag is a very important thing. Minhag is not just, I have this one and that one. It's not like I have a minhag to have scrambled eggs on a Sunday morning. That's not a minhag. I don't, by the way. But okay, who has time on a Sunday morning anymore? Okay? But the minhag means it's binding. It's like a neder from your community or that you brought on yourself. You can't just mess around with minhag. So minhag hakadmonim. You can't just switch around. Because everyone has its own very carefully planned pronunciation. Because compared to another havara, you're not saying it right. And you don't achieve what the Gemara says you should achieve when it says velimad tam. Okay? Yehei limudetcha, limadetcha tam. That your limudim, your learning, your speaking, your reciting of these words should be tam, should be perfect, should be complete. Va'ava al meimer de rachmana de gamrina that we learn. Okay, she yehei limudacha tam. You even have to be careful not to run words into each other. In the Shema, we're all familiar with this, we talked about this. And certainly you can't swallow whole sounds, whole letters. Fine, so you do have to be careful. But then he interjects a note of caution. He just said that b'dievid you're okay. He says, well, maybe sometimes not even. Paragraph 3. I'm going to count to the big paragraphs here. The Harav Aaron HaKohen. He's saying this is the Sefer HaChinuch. By the way, it's not so clear who wrote the Sefer HaChinuch. Maybe it was Rav Aaron HaKohen in Spain. Maybe it was his brother, Rav Pinchas HaKohen. It was someone in that, probably in that family. But he wants to say that. But Sefer HaChinuch, Mitzvah Taf Chaf. Okay, so we have this Mitzvah there, 420. Kasa Sheloi Dik Dik Biyotzi Yaseh B'diyevid Yatsa. When we say, if you didn't pronounce the Shema properly, then B'diyevid Yo Yotzeh, Hainu Dafke Kesheloi Natan Revach Ben Hadvakim. That's only when you didn't leave the space between the words so that they're not quite clear. Or shelo hitiz hazayin shel tizkru. You see all these men starting to zzz in the middle of, they're not on vibrate mode. They're trying to say shetizkru. Okay, it's if you didn't do all that. Okay, you didn't do it, but the yeved, you're okay. Or shelo herich badalad de'echod. Or you didn't elongate the dalad, which we talked about in the shir. There is no way that anyone these days, apart from the Yemenites, can actually do that properly. You can't say a plosive dalad in elongated way. You just can't, because you either start putting letters before it, echad, which is just like 16 alephs before the echad, or echad, which is like 15 reishes after the dalad. So only the Yemenites can do, because they can say echav etc. Fine. So that's the kind of thing he's talking about. B'di'evid yo'ayotze. V'siyim sham chinuch, second line of the third paragraph, and the chinuch ends there, de'im chise o'itiot. But if you missed out whole letters, or tevot, or you missed out whole words, lo yatsa gam b'di'evid, of course you're not yotze. It doesn't mean you can say what on earth you want. It's if you didn't put all the bells and whistles on, then okay, b'di'evid, after the fact, you're yotze. But if you miss out whole letters, then of course you're not yotze. The Alpizeh, according to this, says Rav Kook, yesh ladun she'ela she'amivta etzlam mishuneh be'otiot, that according to one Havara, it's not just the bells and whistles, you're saying a completely different word. When the Hasidim say he, it means who? There's no more two different words than he and who? Okay? So how does that work? You're saying a completely different word. She'ein mitbatos be'ofen acher mima she'acher mitbatim, because they say completely differently. Kumo ha'mivta ha'teimani. And we'll see, he keeps coming back to the Yemenites. Rav Kook is a big fan of the Yemenite Havara. The Yemenites, especially Shemitaim, Kama, Otiyot, B'mitam, Yuchad, they have their own very special pronunciation. If you remember from the first year, look on the first year source sheet. I brought you links to websites where you can hear real Yemenites speaking real Yemenite, and it really feels like a very different pronunciation. Imkein, says Rav Kook, Yesh Lama da Hachinami, it's here too, if you're just using the wrong Havara, Svarit Ashkenazi, or vice versa. Im Ha'oita Mitbater, Lo Nikar Be'oto Haka'al, if people in that pronunciation that you're now in, but you're doing differently, wouldn't recognize the word. Shehu Oto Ha'od, as the same letter, the same letter or word. Yesh Lama da Havikilu Hishmit Ha'od Lagamre, it's like you missed out the word, or the letter. You're just pronouncing it wrong. Yesh Lama Gam Kein Degam B'di'evid Lo Yatsa, and you're not even Yotze B'di'evid according to the Chinuch. Okay? Fine. So you just have to be very careful, he says. You can't just say, ah, b'seder, b'di'evid, it's all going to be fine. Because no, you may have pronounced words in legitimately a different way. And now he says in paragraph 4, but I want to tell you, it's really not okay to change, he says. U'mikol ma shekatavnu, from everything we've written, mubu'ar she'ein shum makom lahatir l'shanot mimivta l'mivta. There is no justification for anyone changing their mivta, he says. Even if you want to say that b'di'evid, you didn't change that much, there's no justification for changing. Because it's b'di'evid, it's good, but l'chatchila it's not, so you can't do it. And in a minute we'll get into the minhag. And you've changed your ancient heritage. You've slipped up, you've made a big mistake. The afal pi shehur gal poi be'eretz Yisrael liten yitaron l'mivta ha'svaradi. Even though we give precedence, this is already 1932, the Svaradi accent, which is not really the Svaradi, it's the Israeli modern Hebrew accent, is already gaining prominence, he says. We give that prominence. He says, but don't think for 1 minute that's because I think it's the right thing to do. Okay? Zehu rak sheyesh la'ezechein v'yofi miyuchad. It's chein v'yofi. You speak like Eliezer ben Yehuda. I've not heard a record of him speak. But it's a beautiful Ivrit, gvoha. That's because it has a certain beauty, but that doesn't mean it's right in terms of halacha. Aval ikar yitzaron ha'mivta hu diyuka b'chiluk ha'otiyot. But the real test of a pronunciation is how it pronounces the words, the hanukudot and the vowels. Ubezeh ha'mivta ha'sfaradi einu magia gam le'mivta ha'ashkenazi. And he says, I want to tell you something. I think the Ashkenazim are one up on the Sfaradim on this. He says, we do better than the Sfaradim. Okay? The kal v'chaymeh she'mivta ha'teimani hu meshubach mikulam. So there's your hierarchy. Number one, the winner, gold prize, goes to Yemenites. The silver prize goes to the Ashkenazim. And the bronze runner-up prize goes to the Sfaradim, even though he says it has a beautiful sound to it. But that's your hierarchy. Okay, that's why he says not to switch from Ashkenazis. You're going down a grade. So now look at the sixth paragraph. He talks about minhag here. Chutz mima she'ein ha'kabalah shal miftaim garua mikol ha'kabalot she'inyani hora'ah. Apart from the fact that we have traditions, and the traditions for each pronunciation, no one is worse than the other one. Shekol achad mehaedut mechayev hu lekayem al titosh torati mecha. And if you're from a community, you have to be wary of breaking the posuk. Do not abandon the Torah of your mother. Torati Mecha is not the hard black and white lines of halacha, but it's the minhagim and the hanhagot, the way that the community conducts itself. We'll see in a few minutes, what about the tunes? What about the, can you change the tunes in shul? Some people are very unhappy about that. We'll get to that in a minute, okay? This is your minute. Kamoshe ha-davar nahug ve-omed be-inyani issa ve-heta. Just like we have in issa ve-heta. Now, we'll get to that soon, because we'll see that other people disagree with this. We'll see Rav Uziel, he was Rav Uziel, we'll see soon, who is the chief rabbi of Israel Gay as well. He turns around and says, no, al titosh Torah temecha is dafka only when it comes to issa ve-heta. My minhag, let's say, is to keep 6 hours. I actually keep 3 hours. But let's say someone's keeping 6 hours between milchiks and fleishiks. They can't, fleishiks and milchiks, excuse me. They can't just turn around and say, ah, you know what, I'm going to keep 1 hour now. Because the Dutch can't all be wrong, you know? So they are wrong. Here's one who knows. So you can't just, but we'll see that Rav Uziel says that no, when it comes to things like this, there's no altitosh torati mecha on this. This is not isur v'heta. Rav Kook says, no, it's the same. It's no different. V'inyane chai mishpacha. Even your family minhagim, you have to be very careful with them. Bein lekula, and I don't care whether they are lenient or lechumra. It's not about him telling you to be strict. It's about him telling you to be consistent and authentic. I remember once someone told me in the name of Rav Dan Lopian, I never heard him say it, but I can imagine him saying it. Well, you need to research it if you don't believe me. He said, Dan Lopian in London, Gershon Lopian, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, if there was a challah of Yashan and a challah of Chadash next to each other in Chutz Laaretz, he said, he would dafka eat the challah of Chadash, even though he has an option of one with less halakhic problems, because the minag of Chutz Laaretz was to be mekel on Chadash for hundreds and hundreds of years. And who am I, he said, to break with that minag of being mekel, of being lenient on Chadash? Other people, their hair would stand on end. So, okay, if you have no choice, then eat the Chadash. You can rely on the minag not to be makpid. But if you have a choice, says, no, the minag is the minag. Ben lekula, ben lechumra. V'chalila lifrods b'zeh pirtzas. God forbid we should start breaking through these minhagim. Ki kabbalas avos hi ki yuma shel Torah sakadosha. What is the Torah without Masorah? What is the Torah without keeping our heritage and our minhagim going? Alkein, therefore, hinani b'zeh b'chazei kidei oisei mitzvah lishtadel b'chol ma'amatzei koach u'bedivrei chachamin b'nachat nishmaim. I want you to do everything you can, as long as you do it in a way which is nice and b'nachat and you don't cause machlokas, etc. Shelo l'shanot et ha'mivtah mukubal b'chol makom. Never change your accent, your havara. Particularly if you're a Yemenite. You see where he's coming from, this pressure on the Taimanim. This was before the big aliyah of the Taimanim. But pressure on the Taimanim to conform to quote-unquote normative Sephardi Ivrit in Israel. It says, don't give in. The changing for them is even worse. And if we want to get into Kabbalah, when the Kabbalists talk about this, b'kedushat hatznuot v'dikduke ha'otiot v'hamotzot, yarchu advarim ma'od. The Kabbalists put a lot of store on exactly how you pronounce every vowel, every letter, every ta'am has a meaning. I just wrote an article about the Zarka. The Zarka is one of the notes, the ta'amim. But the Zohar goes to town on the importance of the Zarka. It represents the connection of the divine feminine and the divine masculine. And if you don't pronounce it right, it gets... I mean, who knew? The answer is, so learn Kabbalah and you'll know. You'll know how important it is to get these things right if you get into Kabbalah. The Hakol Ole L'Makom Echad, everything points to the same direction. Shechalila L'Shlichim B'Kodesh L'Shanot HaMivta M'Mivta M'Duyak M'Kubal Me'az L'Mivta V'Ein L'Meidim B'Zeh. If you're teaching Ivrit, he says, God forbid you should teach children to change the Mivta. Forget about what other people do. Because they do it without halachic permission. You've got to teach Ashkenazis or Yemenite or whatever, Sephardi, whatever you are. Unforgiving. So you might ask, so, okay, Shkoyach, the Rosh Yeshiva in Merkaz Arav still speak with, I mean, I was last there a few years ago, I imagine it's still the case, still have the same Rosh Yeshiva, Rosh Shapira. But what about the boys? No one in Merkaz Arav speaks with a Havara Ashkenazis. Certainly not the Sephardim, but certainly not the Ashkenazim. They all speak with Ivrit. So the answer is, seems to be, Rav Tzvi Yehuda said later in the 60s and 70s, look, you know, what can we do? It's just too late. It's too confusing for the boys who speak Ivrit all day long to then switch into davening in Havarah Ashkenazis. It's just too confusing and they'll get it wrong. Okay, I mean, some of the Haredim manage, or do they not manage? I was in a Chevron offshoot yeshiva, and most of the guys who were Haredi in the yeshiva managed to switch from their regular speech, which was obviously in Hebrew. They don't speak in Yiddish, they speak in modern Hebrew, and they managed to more or less get it right in Tefillah to go back into Ashkenazis. But they don't always get it right, and they do make a little bit of a cholent of it sometimes. But Rav Tzvi Yehuda said, look, it's not going to work here, and therefore we're not going to do it, against, if you like, the Pesach of his father, although we don't know what Rav Kook Senior would have said in 1970, whether he would have said, you're right, it's a mess, and he would have said differently. But that's Rav Kook. Okay, fine. Just to bring you from some of the older sources on this, turn over to page 2. The Magen Avraham writes a beautiful piece on the Shulchan Aruch, where he talks as follows. Number 2. Ha'ari, we're talking about now that Magen Avraham is in the 17th century in Poland. Ha'ari Zal. The Arizal would not put in extra piyutim or extra pizmonim. He wouldn't change the songs they sang in shul, other than he would say the ones that were traditional. And he was, of course, was he Spanish or was he Ashkenazi? That's an interesting question. The Ari is a bit of a mixture himself, but his community in Sfat was Sfarad. Kogoin Hakaliri, like Eliezer Hakalir, Shenitkenu al dat ha'emet, because they have all the Kabbalistic nuances in them. Amnam, says the Magen Avraham, Hamin Hagim Shenagu Beshorashe Hatfila. Amin Hagim, which we have in Tfila, therefore, Ein Lashanot Min Hag Mekomo. You may not change from your Minag. Now, of course, he says Minag Amokam. We don't have Minag Amokam anymore because we're all mixed up in places, but it's the Minag of your community. Maybe we have an associative community. It's not really your place. Ki Yud Bet Sharim Beshamaim. There are 12 different routes to get to heaven with your tefillah, neged yud bet shvatim, according to the 12 tribes, the kol shevet yesh lo shar u'minag levad. There you are, you see. 12 different ways of davening, 12 different approaches, 12 different tribes. Umash and iska b'gemara, shevel kol, and anything which is specifically mandated by the Gemara, so everyone has to do. By the way, the Arizal came along with Nusach Ha'ari. What happened to 12 different ways of doing things? Why is there such a thing as Nusach Ha'ari? There shouldn't be Nusach Ha'ari. The Nusach Ha'ari should be do whatever your Nusach is, because you're one of the 12 tribes. So the Ari said, you know something? People don't know which tribe they're in anymore. So I'm giving them a 13th option, which works for everybody. That's Nusach Ha'ari. That's what he said, the 13th option. And there's always been this tendency to try and unify. Rav Goren wanted to have Nusach Echud, you know, which was everybody having the... It never catches on, because people like to stick with their tribal affiliations. Okay? V'zeh Lashon HaGemara, third line. V'zeh Lashon HaGemara, Yerushalmi. In the Gemara Yerushalmi it says, Af al pi sheshalachnu lachem, okay, seder hatzvilot. Even though we, the rabbis, have sent you out the certain standard tzvilot, al tashanu miminhag avoseichem, do not change your minhagim. The king kasev the sefer chasidim. Then he brings the sefer chasidim from the Middle Ages. The kasev shegam hapsukim sheomrim ala piyutim tzarech lenagain kamo shemenagnim hakrovitz. You have to stick to the tunes. You have to. So there's three levels. There's nusach, there's havara, and there's maybe even the songs. So nusach for sure, he said you should stick to your nusach, and we'll see that people say, well, this applies also to your havara. The Magen Avraham wasn't talking about havara; he was talking about nusach. Nusach Sfad, Nusach Ashkenaz, etc., etc. By the way, I don't know if I shared this with you. I only found out a couple of weeks ago why Nusach Sfad is called Nusach Sfad, when Ashkenazim created the Nusach. And the answer is it was the Hasidim in Poland and Galicia and Ukraine, etc., that wanted to adopt the Kabbalistic Nusach of the Sfat community, who were the Spanish. They called them the Spanish. Therefore, it was called Nusach Sfarb, because they weren't trying to be Edot HaMizrach and Sfaradi. They were the Nusach of the Sfaradim, as in the Spanish who came from Spain to Sfata. That's why it's called Nusach Sfar, apparently. But maybe even the Nigun as well, and I think we're losing the battle on Nigun. Everything changes. I'm a kind of old-fashioned kind of person, and where I went for Shavuos, I went to a shul I've never davened in before, and I was delighted to hear the Kaddish before on Yom Tov, Maariv, before Shmona Esrei, which has a very specific Nigun, and now, for the last 23 years since I've lived in Israel, I don't think I've ever heard the same tune twice. Usually you can't even tell what tune it is, honestly, when people sing it. It's just a mess. But this, I was like, oh, I was in Gan Eden. I could hear the Shliach Tzibbur singing this special. It's that, because there's a nigun for everything. There's a nigun for Kaddish on Yom Tov night before this and from Yom Tov morning before that. Question, sir?
Yeah. I'm curious, what is the specific definition of the word Havara?
Now, tell me
why. Go on. Because occasionally, so fast.
You can't see what. Right.
The words even get distorted.
Right, so we'll get to that.
So
we'll get to that. There's actually, we'll see a source exactly on that coming up soon. We'll see a Sefer Hasidim that talks about distorted Balei Tefillah. We'll talk about that soon. Shulchan Aruch actually says that that's one of the reasons why there's a halacha. Number three, Tzarech liftoach ptachim or chalanot keneged Yerushalayim. Your shul has to have windows in the direction of Yerushalayim, kedei lehit palel kenegdan, so you can daven, you can look through the window. Obviously, you won't see Yerushalayim in most parts of the world, but you'll imagine Yerushalayim. V'tay sheyu bebet haKnesset yud bet chalonot, and the shul should have 12 windows. And many shuls are very makpid on this. Sometimes when they have the stained glass windows with the tribes, obviously tribes is easy. You can have 12 tribes, but many shuls have 12 windows. Actually, in Alon Shvud, I counted the number of windows on our Mizrach wall and got to 48. So I don't know where we got that from, but they're little windows. Maybe they don't all count. Maybe they're just like 12 big windows divided into. Maybe it's divided by four. Yeah, I get it. Maybe it was 49, I don't remember. Okay, fine. Okay, let's go into the Minchas Yitzchak. We're not going to read every word here, but the Minchas Yitzchak, Gaon Weiss, who's he writing this tshuva to? This tshuva is in 1958. He's writing this tshuva to me, 10 years before I was born, or 9 years before I was born. Look at what he says. And he's writing in 1958... in Manchester, to Lichvod Yedidi Harav Hagon Mufrosam Neshevach L'Tila, who is it? Rav Yisrael Brody Schlitter. Who is Rav Yisrael Brody? Chief Rabbi of the British Empire, I don't think it was even an empire by then, of England, Britain, in 1958. And look at what he says. In number four, second paragraph. Hineni b'zeh l'orer et kvod Torato. I want to tell you, Your Honor, he says, Al davar asher eizeh mitchadshim, there's a new thing that people are doing. Okay, Marishim, they're making this new minag l'shanot hamifta hashkenazit haregila beinenu hakabakapakala avotenu betzvilot v'kol davar shebikdusha. They're changing this minhag the mifta Yisraelit to this new Israeli pronunciation. Shenitchatshu keit, okay, alukucham b'miksat b'mifta Sfaradit, which isn't even Sfaradit. It's taken from Sfaradit, but it's not really even Sfaradit. Bati Lahavi, and I wanted to bring you this tshuva, etc. She'alpi halacha brura asur l'shanot hamifta b'chol davar shebikdusha. You may not change it. Why not? So go to the second paragraph where it says little aleph here, third paragraph. Harimuvah b'shulchan aruch b'magen Avram. He quotes the Magen Avram we've just seen together, talking about the nusach. You can't change from your minag, said the Magen Avram. And says Dain Avram, is it Dain Weiss? Who poshet. Underline the chol zeshach gam benogea lehamifta. This also applies to your mifta. You may not change the mifta. To have ikar gadol b'dinei kriyat shema tefillah. It's a very, very big issue. Now go down a few paragraphs to where it says little bet in two paragraphs up from the bottom. There's bet and then bottom paragraphs gimel. So look at bet. Va'oid harigam noda. We also know it's known to us nodalanu. We know that we have certain advantages in our Ashkenazis Havarat, like Rav Kook said. Because the Israeli pronunciation, there's no distinction between Kamatz and Patach. And therefore they can't distinguish between Kodesh and Chol in Shem Hashem. Noi, Nai. It's two different words. Adonai means my lords, chol. Noi means Hashem, Kodesh. It's a very big problem. It's so important to get that right. And he brings down from Rabbeinu Bachya, which we looked at. The Anan Ma Nane Abatrai. What can we do? What can we do about this? Im Kasvu Kozot Av Keneged Hamifta Asfardit. If people say this even against the genuine Sfardi pronunciation, Hamakubalet Etzlehem Beavotehem, and that's a genuine Havara from Morocco, from Yemen, from Iraq, etc. Harry ain't one second. Yes, Mr. Lai, Mikal Shekain, all the more so. But Nogela Mifta Yisraelit, and now his some of his underlying concerns are showing here. All the more so, Hebrew, modern Hebrew. Shelikucha Rak b'Mitzag b'Mifta Shelahem. It's only partially derived from Sfardi. Umat Sarku Bazer Divrei Maskil. Okay, well, how can an intelligent person do this? Al davazeh, but omish mivta ivri, and there was a maskil who said, and he was right, that the modern Israeli pronunciation hamodelni, okay, ma'ached betocha, it unites within it et chisronan shel kol havarot, all the downsides of every other havara can be found together in modern Israeli pronunciation. Okay. Et e havdala ben patach v'kamatz kasfardim. They fail to distinguish between the kamatz and the patach, like the svardim. That et e bitu ha'oitet ha'groniot, and they don't pronounce the ayin and the hayet properly, like the Ashkenazim. It's a big mess. They just unite all the worst of all things, and even worse, they're Zionists. And he'll say this now, number five. V'kolze af im hayah kavanot ha'rotzim b'chadshot. Okay, rotzuim l'shem shamayim. Even that would even be if they were trying to change this l'shem shamayim. Avar kafiyah nodeh, but we all know, he says, ein behem lom, I mean, lomi neyim ve'lo mitzaseyim, not one of them, not all of them, not part of them. Rak kavanah l'umit. They're only interested in their nationalism. Yesh ba'lesh behem bazeh, mishum shehi ke'et safa u'mifta u'meduberet b'minat Yisrael. And therefore they're a shayim. And you can't change it for that reason. So, Rav Weiss, Dain Weiss, who became the head of the Eidah Haredis, okay, who is clearly not a Zionist, but Rabbi Brody, of course, is caught between a rock and a hard place. Because Rabbi Brody, in principle, I suppose, is a sort of Zionist. I haven't done a study of Rabbi Brody's life, but he's the chief rabbi of the United Synagogue, and they certainly have a more Zionist tendency. But he's trying to persuade him to crack down on this change in the Chedarim. And I say, that was my experience in the 1970s when I went to Chedel. So they had Hebrew teachers. I remember her name, Miss Bader, they called her. So I don't know what happened to her. But anyway, I haven't thought of her for 50 years nearly, but 45 years. So, but I don't think it works. Yes.
The Nilra and
Nil'el
changes the meaning of the word.
Yes. Yes. Rachel Ba'a and Rachel Ba'a. Yes, so for Leining, we're very particular about this because it does change the meaning of the word. For Chazonim, I think we've lost all hope. Yes, you're right. And therefore, it should be correct. But we'll see soon, b'di'eved for a Shliach Tzibur, it's not going to be. Even if he says it all wrong, we'll see the Sefer Chassidim says, you know, have Rachmanis on the guy. God understands everybody's hearts. He knows. We saw in the early Shurim, I don't know if you were in the early Shurim, but there were Kohenim who stood up and mispronounced Birkas Kohenim so much, they were saying, Yivarecha Hashem v'yashmedecha, that God should destroy you. God should destroy you all. And like people are listening to this saying, what's this man saying? Take him off. And Amen. And the Sefer Chassidim brings there that the Rav took him off. He says, you can't do it. And the Rav had a dream that night. He says, no, you must put him back or it'll be terribly bad for you because this poor guy, he's doing the best he can. So how far do you take that? We have an issue in our shul. There's a very strict rule. Anyone who has not just a yortzeit, but a yortzeit in the next week, gets to daven on Shabbos, and you know, people do their best, but not everybody is a chazan. Okay, not all chazanim are chazanim. You know,
losing your parent makes you an orphan, not a
chazan. Right, and as I told you before, I grew up with the understanding that chazan is Rosh Teves, chachonim zingen nisht. Okay, fine. Number five, let's go on to page three. Let's just skip a little bit through these. Number five is Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in the Har Tzvi. He says, look, you shouldn't change your Havara. But do you know something? No one's going to listen if you tell them. And you have to heed the words of the Chachamim, the where you're going to give Tolchacha and try and help, and it's actually going to be ignored. You're better off keeping quiet. So he says, you have to be judicious in the way that you apply this, obviously. And Rav Kook said the same thing, you should keep Shalom. But Rav Svi Pesach Frank agrees, you can't change your Havara, but you have to be careful how you say it. Rav Herzog, what's Rav Herzog going to say? Because Rav Herzog's not going to, the first chief rabbi of the state of Israel, Ashkenazi chief rabbi, he's not going to say, well, the evil Zionists brought this in, and therefore you can't follow them. Obviously, he's not going to say that. So what does he say? So he's writing to a rabbi in Johannesburg in 1945. Okay, source number 6. So look at what he says. Let's just look at a couple of lines of this. In the second paragraph here. Tamim le'isav mekomet miuchadim shinui kazeh. You're not allowed to change. Alul bedor hazeh mekomot haheim sheharal hareformi kol kach mitpashed. Who's to blame? It's the reform. It's not the Zionists to blame. It's the reform that's to blame. Kol kach mitpashed letzareinu agadol la'avi harbe bina maskilim. It's the maskilim ubayote et hamonei ha'am lidei machshavat pigul shel yachas sabkani keneged ha'mosoret. People have this cynical, negative attitude against the Masoret. This is why they're changing. It's not Zionism. That's not the problem. The problem is reform, Haskalah. And he goes on in this vein, basically, and he tells the chief rabbi of, or the rabbi here of the shul in I think he is the chief rabbi, actually, in South Africa. He says, you must resist, because don't forget the South African community were very traditional, still are very traditional, and he's worried about changing that. And he says, no, this is a sop to the reform. This is a giving way against the Masorah. And therefore, he tells him not to change from Ashkenazis. Now, again, this is Rav Herzog talking to a chutznik in Chutz La'aretz. This is not Rav Herzog in Israel. But he's saying in Chutz La'aretz, if you change, there's another problem, which is you are giving in to the reform movement. I don't know if that's really the case today in any serious way. I'm not sure any of these statements about, if you do this, then it'll strengthen the reform movement or the conservative movement. You know, this tshuva was 80 years ago. I'm not sure it works the same way today, but it's worth bearing in mind. Now, a couple of quick mentions before we get back into another set of fascinating tshuvas. Igros Moshe. So the Igros Moshe in number 7, he says all Havarat are good. And he says, therefore, if you were to switch your Havara, then don't worry, because the one you've switched to, as long as it's an accepted one, I'm not sure he's so happy about modern Hebrew, but an acceptable one, then b'dieved, it's okay. But he says you must stick to the community minhag, and therefore he gives a psak here in number 7 that you may, from 1969, that the bar mitzvah boy has to lain in the havara of the community. He says, I know it's not ideal, but that is the psak that he gives, and that was Rav Shlomo Zalman Albas psak as well. Even ad kidei kach, if you're the Rav Masada Kiddushin at a wedding and you're marrying off a couple of Sephardim, then or he's Sephardi, the Rav has to speak, say the brachot in a Sephardi Havara. You have to go with the minhag of the community. You have to adjust as you go along. I mean, I suppose you have to know what you're doing. I once went to a Yemenite shul, and I was called up as the token Ashkenazi. I'm not going to try and copy what's going on there. They'll just think it's Purim. But you should try. However, in number 8, which I'm again going to leave you to read for yourself, Rav Moshe in a later tshuva, this was a tshuva to a Yekesh shul in Argentina. And you know what the Yekim are like, okay? They don't want to give up on their minhagim for any reason whatsoever. And they were faced with an increasing number of bar mitzvah boys who were being trained with a Hebrew Ivrit pronunciation. And they were going ballistic. You know, what's going to be? So if you read this tshuva, you'll see later, I'm not going to read it all through, Rav Moshe says, look, have rachmanis on the poor kid. What you need to do is make sure that you have at least a minion that is laning with the authentic minhag of the shul. He says, first of all, if the kid just does maftir and have Torah, which probably they did in those days, it's fine. Yeah, because the laning was already in the proper, quotes and quotes, havara. But even if the kid's doing the whole sedra, he says, just make sure you have a hashgama minion. The shul has to have a laning which is in the right havara. Or you have a little mitzumtzam minion on the side. You get, take 10 men and have a little laning in another room. So at least the minag of the community is not being altered. But he says to have rachmanis on the bar mitzvah boy. He's just a kid. He allowed him. I don't know whether Rav Moshe changed his position a little bit from 69 to 80, whether it's just two different situations. It seems like there's a little bit of a shift. If you read it, you can tell me what you think, that he's basically realizing that it's a little bit of a lost battle. And there's a phone just going off. Shores, then just take a look at it. Thank you. Number 9. Again, I'm going to mention this outside together with number 10, which we're going to get, well, to get 10, we'll get more into the weeds. Number 9 is the Tzitz Eliezer. The Tzitz Eliezer says there was a young man who was asked to go to hospitals to make kiddush for the nurses on Shabbos morning, and the nurses were all Sfardiyot in this particular case. So he says, they don't understand what I'm saying if I say Ashkenazis, and they think it's funny. I think I told you once that I once went to friends of ours for Kiddush many years ago, and all their kids grew up with Israeli pronunciation, and I happened to make Kiddush. I must have come in later or something. And I said Kiddush like I say Kiddush, and the kids all started laughing hysterically. They thought I was making all the words up. They didn't know what was going on. So he says, what are you going to do? He says, you can switch. It's not a problem. Just one, as a one-off. If you switch as a one-off into a different accent, that's fine. Because it's a legitimate accent, it's a legitimate pronunciation, you're not making a permanent switch, you're making a temporary switch, and therefore you can do it. He says, and you're also Yotze, don't worry that you're not Yotze. I have this shyness sometimes when I'm with my grandchildren. So Baruch Hashem, they come to us for Shabbos, and we sit and we say Kriyas Shema together in Shul. They're only little, they're like 6 and 5, etc. So I say the Shema with them. It's the bit of the davening that they recognize. The rest of the davening, they're running around, they don't know what's going on. One of them is in kindergarten, the other one's in Kitta Aleph. She's beginning to get a little bit more. So when I say Shema with them, so I say it like the way they say it, which is not the way I say it. Because I say it with Ashkenazis, and they say it as Israeli children. So my Shaila is, am I Yotzer with the Kriyas Shema? Do I have to say Shema again at the end of the service? Because I said it in the wrong Havara. So some people would say, for sure. And there's no harm to say it again, okay? I'm not sure that the Tzitz Eliezer would say that I had to. Do I? That's a good question. Yes. That's a good question. I try to remember to, yes. But I think that Tzitz Eliezer would ask... that's the kind of question my wife would ask me. That's why I Yes, no, it's good, it's good, it's good. Keep me on my toes, that's fine. The Tzitz Eliezer, I think, will say you do not need to, possibly, but maybe it's Shema Hibi Machmek or Shema Zdoraisa, this is Kiddush, it's the Rabbanon, so that's a good question. But now let's go to the people who say confidently, you may switch. And I want to bring out a few arguments that they bring as to why they hold that you may. So three tshuvas, one from Rav Uziel, one from Rav Waldenberg, and one from Rav Avadi Yosef. You can already guess, I think, what Rav Avad Yosef is going to say. Okay? I leave you to think about that for the next 10, 15 minutes before we get to his psak. Look at number 10. Look, start from the second paragraph, just at the bottom of the page. Says Rav Uziel, Rav Ben Sion Uziel, again, one of the Rav Arashi Sfardi of the Jewish state. Misichati im achadim gedolim rabbanim shebadoreinu. Said, I've discussed this with many of the rabbanim in our generation. Shemati mipim shepasku halacha zeh besakin charifa. Many of them have paskened with a sharp knife on this. The Amru Ein Adam Yotze Yidei Chavata B'Kriya B'Kol Dava Shebechova U'Mitzvah Ela Davka Kashihi Ne'emeret or Ne'emeret B'Mivta Ashkenazi. You're not Yotze, he would say very clearly. According to these rabbis, you're not Yotze with the Shema if you say it in the wrong accent. You have to say it again. V'Hichriu Midatam B'Rayot V'Hasharot She'ein Lehem Al Mashi Yaskimu. He says, I think they bring proofs that you can't. It's not so easy to rely on those proofs that they're so sharp, so harif against it. Shemevta Ashkenazi, hu mekori. They want to say that the Ashkenazi accent is the original accent. But don't forget, Rav Kook said the Ashkenazi accent is superior to the Sephardi accent. Okay? The Yosidi, who passed the economy of time, acherim, and they passel everybody else, says, I'm not so sure about that. Over the page to page 5. So he says as follows. And I've seen what Rav Kook said. He says, I've seen Rav Kook. And notwithstanding Rav Kook, he said, I disagree. You can change. And look at the reasons that he brings. He brings about 7 reasons why people can change. So go to the next paragraph there. I used to basically think on this, my own opinion on this is as follows. He's saying, we don't really have the ability to make a definitive ruling on this. We don't have a Sanhedrin. V'hoil v'loy amda ad kol l'diyun shel knesiyot, knesat rabbanim, shebiyada ladon ulahachriya. We don't have the ability to make a decision that binds everybody. We just lack that. We lack the Sanhedrin. We've had Chirim on this. We could have a Sanhedrin. We just can't get our act together. And Rav Ben Sion Uziel is unhappy about that. He says, we don't have that, so I'm not sure you can make a definitive answer. Okay? Therefore, one second. So, Mutav Linhag Ba. So, I recommend the following Hanhaga. Da Avad Ka'avad Kamar Avad, U Da Avad Kamar Avad. People should do whatever the poskim think is right. Meaning, there are multiple ways of doing it. I'm not paskining halacha, he says. I'm just telling you the reality. How are you going to start switching everybody? How are you going to take a bar mitzvah boy who's learned his sedra and they say, just switch the havara? It's not even possible. You can't just switch the way you see Krishma or Tzvila. We call Dava Shebachova. You can't just switch overnight. Some people are better at this than others. I'm not very good at all. You have this, the way you said things as a kid, all the things you remember. You can't just switch things now. Because Shinu Kizeh Mevi Ubuvia. All you're going to make is a big Ashkafadi mess. Okay, besed tefilato shepam yivtake hergalo. Sometimes you pronounce it like this. She'ena yochel lazuz mimena. I tell this to Sephardi girls, by the way. A lot of Sephardi girls who've come to my seminaries, they now coming to Israel for the year. They kind of reclaim their Sephardi pride, and they realize through high school they've been browbeaten by Ashkenazim, basically in New York. To daven Ashkenazis. They've been in Ashkenazi schools and they've been doing Ashkenazis. And they now say to me, many girls have said this, I'd love to go back to my roots and my heritage and switch. And my answer to them usually is, well, can you? Or is it just going to be difficult to daven? And for most of them it's, well, I just can't daven that way. I've davened this way since I was a kid. I can't just switch to be Eidot HaMizrach because now I realize that that's quote-unquote more authentic. And usually the answer to these women, I've spoken to post them about this, is they should continue davening Ashkenazis and it's better for their tefillah. Okay, go to the next paragraph. Me'amar yotze din boros. So from what I've said, I think it's clear. Sheshinu ha'mivtahim einu gormim shalala hoitzi et ha'koyra yidei chavata. It's not going to be a problem that you're not yotze. You are going to be yotze. Afilu im nanir shehu to'eh b'havarato. Even if you think it's a mistake, you'll still be yotze. Hoyva hakol holech achrei kavana salev. At the end of the day, it's your intention that matters. Ubaor ubiur ha'inyan, okay? V'kol ha'kare medaklei klikro kahagam ba'oisa ha'havara, shehu ragil. If you should be careful, if you can, to daven in the havara that you are regularly used to davening. O shebocher ba, and he gives you that option. Or that you choose to switch to. It's very clear, you can choose. You can switch. Just do it right. Yotze yidei chovato. If you think that's the right havara, you can't turn around and say these people are doing anything wrong. They're doing something right. Okay, they're doing the best they can. Let them do the best they can. And then he brings up the Sefer Charedim that you said, that there are people who swallow their words and there are people that say it all wrong. And the Sefer Chassidim, sorry, not the Sefer Charedim, the Sefer Chassidim says, allow them to daven. Even if they're making a mistake, even if they're shlichei tzibur, kal v'chomer, that if they're individuals, you can't fault them because they've chosen a havara that they feel is the right one to do in these circumstances. And then in the paragraph that starts, v'ata ne'adar anpin levarer ladun im yesh b'shinu ha'mivtayim mishum al titosh toras emecha, there he brings the psak that I mentioned to you before, that he feels this does not apply. Do not deviate from the Torah of your mothers. This does not apply in a case where there's no real Isser Veheta. It applies in Kashrus. It applies in Shabbos. It doesn't apply here. Havara change from one to another. You're not dealing with Isser Veheta. So it's a different designation. He disagrees with Rav Kook. And he says, I don't think you can say that it is a problem because of Minhag. It's not a problem because of Minhag. That would apply to strictly halachic Isser Veheta areas. Last two paragraphs. The Harach Lehem Yisrael says, so leave the Jews alone. Let the Jews be. Im einam nevim bnei nevim heim. This is a very important line. This is taken, of course, from the Gemara in Pesachim, that the Jews have a collective nevuah. Not an individual nevuah. There are lots of Jews that seem to think that they're nevim and they have a right to pronounce on all matters religious, even if they don't know what on earth they're talking about. But the Jews collectively, they're nevim. If they're not nevim, they're bnei nevim. What's bnei nevim? It doesn't mean the sons of prophets. Bnei nevim are the people who are in prophet school. To try and learn how to be Nevi'im. That's what the B'nai Nevi'im are. So look, they're trying. They're trying. They haven't got there yet, you know. They're trying to be the magicians. They're kind of squibs, as like whatever it is. And they're trying to do it, but they haven't done it yet. So leave them alone. Because the Amarti kidei lahochiach lefi anias daiti she'ein b'yicholteinu ke'et lahorot hora'a mesuyemet. And I just want to make clear, I'm not trying to paskin like you or not like you. I'm just trying to say we can't be definitive. But b'chirat ha'mivta zeh or acher, this one or that one, the ein b'yicholteinu gam lomer she'hakore b'mivta acher mizeh she'kabel me'alvotav v'rabotav lo yatsa yidei chovatzah. We can't make pronunciations on this, etc. But then at the end, he says, ulam, last paragraph, ein zepoite otanu miladun b'halacha zo l'omka, but we really need to work this through if we can. Ulikvoa b'knisya shel chachamim, we need to bring together a knisya of chachamim mulumadim who are all experts. Edikduka shel hasafa b'kriyata, we need to have some rabbinic academy, not the academia l'lashon ivrit, whatever it's called, which is very nice, but it's there to uphold the Hebrew language, secular Hebrew language, and yet they can't find another name but academia in order to call the organization, which I think is already a disappointment. There should be a Hebrew word for academia. Okay, fine. So I want to have a rabbinic conference of this. And therefore he says, I would love there to be one havara for everybody. I would love it. Everybody should pronounce the words the same way as everybody else. But it's not happening. So leave it alone. Im lav nevim heim, b'nei nevim heim. When it happens, and we'll all pronounce things the same way. It's an interesting question. You know, when Mashiach comes, whatever that means, how you understand it, will there still be Ashkenazim and Sfaradim and da-da-da-da? Or will there just be now, yeah, leave it all behind? And this also is partly a Hashgafic question as well. Yes?
When you go to shul and you have a siddur, what are you supposed to do?
Okay, so in private tefillah, you're supposed to daven the way you normally daven. Yes? Yes. If you're going to sing very loudly, so you can lead the tzibur, yeah, if you're the shliach tzibur, then you'll probably have another shayla to ask as well. Okay? But you should say your normal, in private davening, you should say your normal davening. I have two children, Baruch Hashem, Bliya and Hara. One of them is Nusach Ashkenaz, and one of them is Nusach Sfarad. Why? Because when we made Aliyah, my daughter was 5. She was in kindergarten. You know, she hadn't really learned any tefillah. So when they pushed a siddur in her hand, of course they pushed. They were educated in religious Zionist schools, and almost all of them are Nusach Sfarad. They're all descended from Hasidim. So they pushed a Nusach Sfarad siddur in her hand, and that's how she davened. My son, who was 7, was old enough to say, "Hey, hey, hey! This is not the right Nusach. I'm Nusach Ashkenaz and proud." So he managed to hold out. So it's another thing to think about when you're making Aliyah. Yes.
When you're davening,
yes. Yes.
You say the kedusha or your own. In other words, I daven Ashkenaz. I go to a Sfarad minyan sometimes.
So the only bit you have to say in kedusha is kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. You can do either. You can do either. Because the only bit you need to say in kedusha is kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. And that's the same for everybody. It's pesukim. Okay? Whether you say naritzacha, menagdishacha, you can. Yeah, some people don't say that at all. A lot of people don't say nekadesh or naritzacha. They just wait to say kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. So I don't think there's. That's not really an essential part of the spell. Okay, fine. Let's look quickly. We've got just enough time to get through to the Sridi Eish. He brings out some very interesting points. Okay? So the Sridi Eish of Waldenberg. He is talking about a bar mitzvah boy who was being pushed to learn to lay the parsha in a different havara from that of her that he was used to in order to comply and conform with the shul. He makes some new points. Have me look on page 6 of the second paragraph. V'zol be'emet she'ela chamura. He says, the first thing I want you to understand is this is not a light question. This is a really serious question. How you speak Hebrew goes to the root of how you communicate with God. And that's certainly al pi kabbalah, but not even. It's a very important question. This is not a light question. And there's different opinions on this very important question. And if the shatz is used to a certain pronunciation, you can't have a Sfaradi Baal Tefillah with an Ashkenazi Kehillah. There are people who are lenient. And there are those who are lenient even for the Baal Tefillah. And as we know, many shuls in Israel today are just moichel. They say, you know, whatever you are is what you daven. And he says at the end of the tshuva, we've always been like this in Ashkenazi shuls. We're not makpid if someone with a Galiziana accent stands up and davens in a place where, oh no, we daven here with a North Polish accent. You know, not with a Galizia or not with a Litvisha accent. No one's going to pull a shliach tzibah off because he speaks like a Litvak, Tera. Yeah, and he doesn't say Torah or Torah or Taura. Yeah. So if we've been so lenient and broad-minded when it comes to Ashkenazim, like why does that stop where Ashkenazim stop? You could say, well, they're all Ashkenazi, but they all sound different. It says, there are Makinim. V'shamati kiba London. I've heard that in London, v'chein ba'America, mekilim harabanim laharshot lebar mitzvah likrob b'mivtah svardi. I've heard that in London, they are lenient, and in Eretz Yisrael, they're not lenient. That's usually the way it goes, but not always. Look, third paragraph. He brings here. But Megillah Nema, Chaifani Ubaishani Lo Yisa'ed Kapav. We saw this source. Someone from Haifa, someone from Bet Chan, says the Gemara may not duchen. They don't differentiate between the aleph and the ayin. We saw that source. The Perush Rashi, she'im omrim ya'er Hashem, should be with an aleph, ya'er Hashem, miftaim ya'er Hashem, with an ayin, which is the wrong word, says Rashi, loshen klalahu. It's a klala. Okay? And he's not like the Sefer Hasidim who says, okay, fine, leave him. No. So he says, Rashi says, then that you can't do. You can't give a klala to the congregation. The chen b'misha mivta chet, someone who pronounces the chet, k'mo hei, k'shagi'i l'posik, v'chikiti l'Hashem, this is also brought down by Rashi, that when you get to the posik, chikiti, I wait, I expect Hashem, nimsa m'charev v'magadev, you say, v'hikiti, I smack Hashem, God forbid. Mashma, he says, if it sounds from Rashi, Shirak mipnei tamze ein moridim otam lifnei hateva. That's the reason they can't daven, because what they're going to say is a klala. They're going to not just say it wrong, but they're going to say something which is offensive. That's why you can't have them as tefillah. Aval balot tamze, he says, if it seems clear, if it's, you're not going with Rashi, or if you are going with Rashi, I should say, Shape haya moridim otam. We would put them down, we would send them down to Davin. Meaning, nobody suggests, he says, that the Ashkenazim, the way they pronounce the words, comes out as a curse, according to the Sfaradim, or vice versa. So he says, so what are you worrying about? It's fine, according to Rashi, the only problem is if they are going to curse, and that's not going to happen. And then he says, even though we all know, he's Ashkenazi, that the Sfaradi accent is superior. Superior. So he goes with the Sfaradi accent as superior. He says, we know that, even as an Ashkenazi. And he says, and in case you turn around and say, well, people won't understand what they're saying, the answer is, everyone has a chumash, everyone has a siddur. If you don't understand, like you said, the gentleman said, that they sometimes talk so fast you don't understand what they're saying anyway, you have a siddur, you follow on in the chumash, you follow in a siddur, it's not a problem. And therefore he comes out and says that, you know, we can be makel on this issue, it's a temporary issue. Look at the last paragraph before we finish with Rav Avadia. He says, Upuk chazima amadvar, go and see what people actually do. Many kehilot alinian, shebekehilot rabot, yesh lam anashim eretz hashonot. People have lots of different people in their community. Shelekol echad yesh havara acheret, kama anshei lita, anshei galitzia, they pronounce this differently. And he says, and there's a special reason, two reasons not to be makpid with a bar mitzvah boy. You're going to teach him that all Jews do is basically make your life hard and complain. And the family's going to be, you're going to have a whole machloikas in the run-up to the bar mitzvah. That's the last thing you want to do. Let me leave you with Rav Avadia Yosef. who comes in, weighs in on this. Of course, I brought you the last paragraph of an extremely long tshuva. You know, if we were to learn Rav Avadya's tshuvot, we'd be here for 6 hours every day, which I would love, but I'm not sure the OU would go for it. And he says at the end, he says, V'sof davar, number 12, She'ein lechvot almi shemitpalalim b'havara achad l'shanot. You can't force people to change. B'min hagot v'hergolot. You can't force people to change. People can do whatever they used to, whatever they choose. Afim roivat tzibur regilim b'havara acheret. Even if the majority go in a different way. Ach ha-shliach tzibur, he says, he thinks the shliach tzibur. V'hachazen ha-kore. They should at least go with the majority, what the majority wants. And then he says, look at this fantastic line. The ein safek, there is no question in my mind, there is no question in my mind that the Sfaradim will overcome all, and one day everybody will daven like a Sfaradim. Okay. And then in the last paragraph, he mentions an important point, and he says, "Now I'll tell you something else. If in Israel you daven with an Ashkenazis accent, think of the lost opportunity of Kirov of non-observant Jews who come to shul, regular Israelis who walk in off the beach, off the street, and they come to the shul and they hear this oy 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 and they wonder what the heck's going on. They'll just walk straight out again and say this is not for me. If they hear something they understand and they understand that they can be part of it, think of the outreach potential of just being a Sfaradi. Think how advantageous that would be. And one day we will all become Sfaradim," he said, "whether we like it or not. So until that day, I will continue to daven Ashkenazis. Next week, we'll move into different areas. I feel we haven't looked at two issues for a long time. One is Hilchos Shabbos, which I feel we've neglected for a bit. And the other is medical ethical issues. So maybe we'll look into some of those and pick it up from there. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.